testimonium Christi confirmatum est in vobis, ita ut nihil vobis desit in nulla gratia. The witness of Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, this Sunday the Gospel is the same as from the Tuesday of the second week of Lent. It is the Gospel of the healing of the paralytic man brought before our Lord by his friends. St. Matthew lays out the facts for us. The paralytic is brought by his friends before our Lord, who forgives him his sins because of their faith. The scribes accuse our Lord of blasphemy in their tongues. Jesus, knowing this, tells them that he is the very incarnation of God. He is God made flesh. As proof of this, he gives a sign that he has forgiven the paralytic's sins by healing him so that he gets up and walks. The fathers of the church are unanimous in telling us that the paralytic man is humanity, sick because of its sins. He is brought to our Lord in the sacraments in order to receive his pardon and be healed. Over and above the healing brought to his soul is the grace given by our Lord so that humanity can be on its feet again. Our Lord's healing of the paralytic is perfect. He is told to rise because he was lying down. He is told to take up his bed because others bring him to Jesus. He is told to walk because he could not move on his own. In the same manner, in the sacrament of reconciliation, a sinner lying in sin is told to rise by sorrow for his sin. He is told to take up his bed by making satisfaction for his sin. And he is told to go home, the home of eternity, where he can have peace in his conscience and in his soul. Today's episode tells us what response we are to have to this great liberality of God. In his epistle to the Corinthians, for all the blessings received and to be received, St. Paul gives thanks to God. Thanksgiving is the essential form of liturgical prayer, because it testifies that God is the fullness and source of all good. Among these blessings, he mentions in the first place the various graces that were received. In the early years of the church, particularly in Corinth, the faithful received many graces from God, both interior ones, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and exterior ones, for the purposes of their sanctification and their edification. This is particularly important to note because Corinth was a trading city known for the immoral life of its citizens and its consequent problems. It was St. Paul who pointed out that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. In today's epistle, he testifies to the fullness and perfection of these graces received by the Corinthians. By this, he refers to the knowledge of Christ and the firmness of their testimony in Christ. This is, dear faithful, this is true of us as well. A simple glance around us, the daily news from near and far, all point out that many things are not right with our world and unfortunately in the church as well. Despite this, God does not stop showering us with his graces. Despite the situation in the world, not to mention the church, we can honestly say that we lack nothing to find our way to our homeland. The beginning of our spiritual lives is the sacrament of baptism, wherein we receive the graces and virtues we need to begin our path to heaven. We are nourished by the sacrament of Holy Communion and strengthened by confirmation. For our roles in the church, we have the sacrament of matrimony and holy orders. When we are ill because of our sins, we have the sacrament of reconciliation. And when we approach the end of our lives, we receive the sacrament of extreme unction to send us on our way to our Lord. At no point in our lives does our Lord leave us alone. In fact, St. Augustine tells us that God abandons no one unless he abandons him by sin. He is faithful to us until the end of our lives. By the gift of his grace, God gives himself to us so that we may become like him. His grace elevates us in our lives, in all we do. He gives us his grace to help us in doing his will, and when we are unable to, he gives us graces to cooperate with them. Our Lord himself said that without him, we are incapable of doing anything. Sine me nihil potestis facere. In order to do the supernatural acts that allow us to merit heaven, we need graces from God. The act of faith, which is the first of such supernatural acts that we can do, is impossible without the help of grace. His grace comes before our acts. His grace accompanies our acts. His grace perfects our acts. His grace makes us holy. What should be our response to this manifold generosity of God? The best response would be to return to God a gift of our lives, to consecrate ourselves and all we do to him, to give glory to his name. In doing this, we will become pleasing to God. Our ancestors in the faith understood this well. Those who built this church that we are in presently knew the importance of living their faith. It was these parishioners themselves, through their regular giving and their volunteer work, who contributed for the church we are in today. For several years, they contributed to build and embellish this building. It was a place where they could give thanks to God for all his benefits. It was a place where they could pray to him, a place where they received the sacraments and many more graces besides. Therefore, they sought to thank God by building him a worthy place of worship. Dear faithful, we are the inheritors of this legacy. If we have a beautiful building in which to worship God, then it is thanks to our ancestors in the faith who built it by their work and their sacrifices. It is thanks above all to divine providence that this church could be built here in West Orange after all those years of hardship. Providence has determined that this building continue as a place of worship, a place of thanksgiving to him for his bounty, a place in which he can give us his graces so that every day we can work towards our salvation. Is it not apt, therefore, that we contribute to its maintenance and upkeep? Our ancestors in the faith loved God enough to build and consecrate such a place for his worship. It is our turn to give what we can, spiritually, monetarily, or through volunteer hours, to maintain and preserve it for the next generation. The highest gift we can give to another is the gift of ourselves, as our Lord himself said. Giving ourselves in this way epitomizes the virtue of generosity. Of course, the perfect example of generosity is God the Creator. It was entirely by his generosity that God created man in his image and likeness. His gift of himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, represents the ultimate form of generosity and serves as a model for all our human generosity. Because God created us in his image, out of his own liberality, a dynamic impulse towards generosity is implanted in the depth of our being. As a consequence, to live authentically means to live generously. Our personality is almost synonymous with generosity. To live authentically is to give generously of oneself. The great domestic philosopher Jacques Maritain underscored this unification of personality with generosity when he wrote, "Do not heroes and saints impress us as men who have reached the heights of personality as well as generosity?" So deeply rooted is generosity in our nature that we must give ourselves to a common good, the good of a society and the good of a community, to be truly and fully human. To the calculating mind, Being generous seems to be costly. To the generous heart, being greedy seems incomprehensible. There is a superabundance of goodness given to us, to each one of us. St. Paul himself says so. The witness of Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace. Not to release it is to cost us who we are. Our Lord himself said in the Gospel of St. John, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Nothing, therefore, is more costly than greed, and nothing is more rewarding than generosity, not just to each other here on earth, but above all to God. In gratitude, we are human. In generosity, we are divine, because we imitate God. Our Lord himself says in the Gospel of St. Matthew, you received without pay, give without pay. St. Paul assures us that God will be faithful to us until the end. God crowns the gift of all his graces with the grace of final perseverance and firmness in the good. Here in church, at the Mass, over and above all his gifts to us, he gives us himself. By his sacramental presence in the tabernacle, his real presence before us, we have no reason to envy the apostles. He is as present to us today as he was to them back then. Take note from the gospel, dear faithful, that when we come to God, twisted up because of our sins, but with a humble and contrite heart, he himself will take up the fight against our accuser, the enemy, the devil. Oftentimes, the reason we are unable to rise up using the graces of God is our own lack of faith that he has in fact given us these graces. This is the time to remember the words of our Lord and Savior, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven you. The reason he went on to work a miracle of healing the paralytic man was for the benefit of the Pharisees. They who knew from their studies that God first heals the soul by forgiving sins, and then the body, would not accept that Jesus could forgive sins, even though he had worked many signs before their eyes, proving that he is the Son of God. Therefore, in today's Gospel, we have the first time that our Lord goes on to attack them where it hurts them the most, in their hypocrisy. In today's language, we would say, he spoke truth to power. As St. Paul points out that our fight is against the powers and principalities of darkness, we are called to stay close to Christ our King, who will give us the final victory. The movements of divine providence in our lives, between our vocation, our justification, and our glorification, are subtle and interlinked. He himself will make sure that we can appear before reproach, before our Lord, who judges the living and the dead, when he comes again. For this reason we pray in the collect, may the working of your mercy, we beseech you, O Lord, guide our hearts, for without you, we cannot please you. We have no better example of a generous response to God than Our Lady. St. Alphonsus Liguori tells us that knowing the will of our Lord for our salvation, Our Lady herself would have nailed her own son to the cross if the soldiers failed to do so. She accompanied our Lord all through his life, physically and spiritually. Now present with him in heaven, she intercedes for us and wins for us graces as we need them. As she was generous in the gift of herself while on earth, God honors her by his generosity through her. O Mary, Mother of Divine Grace, Mother of the Church, Mediatrix of all graces, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.